This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with John Burton. He is the CEO of Sun & Fun. And John, this was one for the books. Let's go through it, starting with, how about attendance?
It was, Russ, certainly one for the books. I think the attendance this year started out, as you know, very, very light due to weather, not only in Lakeland, but the northern portion of Florida. But it ended strong, including probably the single biggest day we've ever had. So right now, the preliminary numbers that I've got is putting our attendance very close to last year. We're down probably by about 2%, but I, you know, once I have final numbers, I'll have a much better idea, but I am ecstatic with those numbers.
Down 2% considering the first 4 days is...
The first three days.
Those days were practically... They were actually quite dismal, weren't they?
Well, there were a lot of activities going on. I mean, all of the indoor exhibits, all of the educational forums, seminars, and workshops were going on. The campground was okay, a little light there, but the number of aircraft were dozens instead of thousands. So that's really what negatively impacted our attendance early on. There just wasn't a lot of airplanes. There were plenty of pilots who drove in and camped, but in terms of aircraft, we were light in every area.
Okay. Lots of the show aircraft got in. They came in a little bit early before the front set up, right?
There were a good number of show aircraft that came in early, but even those numbers, especially in the home build area, were very light. What happened was there were a lot of aircraft that came in on Friday and Saturday, especially in the home build and the antique and classic area, even the seaplanes. It could be argued that at some points that we probably could have had the splash in here at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport instead of over at Fantasy of Flight because of the amount of water we had on the ground, but I'll leave that to more expert opinions than mine.
Now, there was a lot of news that came out of the show, and we'll save the big news for last, but there were quite a few announcements and some fairly major ones, right?
There were a lot of announcements by especially some of the airframe and engine manufacturers, some new designs. I know Cessna had announced their new aircraft and really had a very good year in terms of sales. I think I just saw something on AvWeb, as a matter of fact, that announced that they had sold 30 aircraft or more than 30 aircraft during the week of SoundFun or took orders or whatever their terminology is. So I know that there was an awful lot going on. The programs that we had the ribbon cutting for the Central Florida Aerospace Academy to kick off the week on opening day morning, on Tuesday morning, which was just a terrific event. That evening we had the 100th anniversary of Naval Aviation Program with Hoot Gibson and just a real distinguished panel of naval aviators. On Wednesday we had our commemoration of the 20th anniversary of Desert Storm with Brigadier General Corey Cornum and his wife, who is a Brigadier General in the United States Army, Rhonda Cornum, who also happens to be the one of the first female prisoners of war that the United States has ever had. So again, a lot of momentum early in the week, even though we didn't have an awful lot of airplanes here.
Okay, and then along came Thursday. And that will go down in the history books as one of the most memorable days in Sun & Fun history. Do you have your T-shirt yet?
I do not. I have one ordered because my understanding is that they sold out. We had 500 printed, and I believe that they sold all of the quote-unquote I Survived Sun & Fun 2011. And yes, I did order one. Actually, I ordered one for me, one for my wife, and one each for our three daughters. So maybe I helped sell them out. You know, it's amazing the severest of the severe weather took less than 15 minutes. And the total number of aircraft that I have heard have ranged as high as 69 airplanes that were destroyed or damaged. So it was a lot of airplanes, and our heart goes out to everyone. We are deeply saddened by the loss of any aircraft, but if there was any silver lining or any good news that came out of that loss, it's that the loss of property was not accompanied by the loss of life. So we are eternally grateful that there were only a number of minor injuries. I believe 7 people went to the hospital with minor injuries, and we're eternally grateful for that.
Well, moving forward, what's on the books for next year? I know you're already starting to organize next year. Give us the dates and what you hope will be a highlight.
Well, I think that there's going to be a number of really cool things that we're working on, and the dates are March 27th through April 1st. We'll again follow the Tuesday opening, and it'll run through Sunday, April 1st. There are a number of anniversaries that are coming up. We celebrated Naval Aviation, 100 years of Naval Aviation this year. Next year, we're looking at 100 years of Marine Aviation, and we're hoping to get some semblance of a Marine Expeditionary Unit, or a MEU, where we'd love to have the Ospreys, perhaps a Harrier, a Cobra, a gunship, and a number of ground troops, helicopters coming in and have a simulated expeditionary exercise right here at Sun and Fun. So I think that's one of the things we're working on. There's also a couple of anniversaries having to do with aerospace, and as soon as we get those confirmed, we'll be announcing those.
Well, always a pleasure, John. Appreciate you taking the time today. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.